I should like to quote again from the introduction to this course. The introduction refers to certain characteristics of what is described as the rising tide of spiritual inquiry during recent years. I quote, "In order to preserve the integrity of their spiritual search, the young in particular have felt deeply the necessity to put space between themselves and what they have considered to be a long history of conditioned thinking in relation to the Christian scriptures. Now, this distancing has operated and still does operate in other areas also, not least in relation to prayer. The very word has largely gone from the vocabulary of many who are not only searching, but who also have found a deep inner understanding of spiritual realities. And there are very good reasons for this. The word has become debased and caricaturized, so that its association is frequently with a kind of emergency call service, or with the image of a puppet god sitting outside of his creation, dispensing largesse to favoured pressure groups, favoured, of course, because they bear the correct label. Prayer is out and meditation is in. Though I have no doubt whatsoever that in the experience of very many, meditation frequently describes that very reality from which the word prayer has become divorced. This is not easy for many of us to recognize, for the simple reason that our perceptions extend no further than ears attuned only to listening for correct language, which, if we do not hear, we hear nothing at all. I return again to the words of Jesus. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There is a situation here which is identical with that to which Jesus addressed himself when in his day he spoke to the then custodians of the faith, the ones who, zealous for preserving and transmitting the letter of the scripture, themselves became divorced from the spirit. The tangible they tenaciously preserved, the dynamic eluded them. And these are the religious materialists. And persistence in this path leads ultimately and inevitably to a refusal to acknowledge and to opposing the dynamic. And this wherever it is found, be the label never so orthodox, is the very spirit of Antichrist. The assumption of the role of custodian of the whole truth, either by groups or individuals, is frequently the prelude to an analysis and labelling of its component parts. This is invariably followed by a careful dispensing of its various ingredients. By such methods does the ingredient or concept of prayer become an isolated activity, separated from and unrelated to the real motivations which have never been uncovered and discovered within one's life. Prayer cannot be taught in the sense of a grafting on from the outside. To assume the disciplines of prayer in this way is totally unreal, for true prayer can only spring from an inner eruption of life. A child who is growing comes inevitably to walking, and he in whom there is life comes so to praying. And remember, he alone is a custodian of truth in whom the truth is operating. So we come to the words of Jesus and the picture of which they form a part. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who dwells in me, as I dwell in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to allow into play two of the faculties to which we have already referred and which, in previous sessions, we have brought into play: imagination and intuition, the capacities for creativity and for direct knowledge. And remember that just as much discipline is called for, indeed for most of us more, in the exercise of these faculties as in the use of the intellect. To use the imagination creatively and to listen from the heart, for that is what we mean by intuition, requires singleness of aim and clear motivation. It is not daydreaming, it is the very reverse. Our understanding of what constitutes religious education is generally so unbalanced that we fail to relate to more than one third of the whole person in what we are pleased to call transmission of the truth. And here, if I may quote scripture against the very practice of quoting scripture, forgive the contradiction, the word, we are told by St. John, was made flesh, not a sermon. In a few moments, I shall read the passage which describes the picture. As you listen, don't try to analyze or dissect. This is Bible study, which is not what we're about. But allow yourself to be aware of and to relate to that which the words enshrine. That which was there from the beginning is there and always will be there. For the dynamic here cannot be confined to words. Hear, be aware, feel in your own way. And if I may revert to the last session, this deliberate putting of oneself in the place of perception is an integral part of the coming to and believing in which we have already considered. To some, the picture may speak primarily in colours or movement or both. What is important is that you allow your perceptions to operate in the way that is right for you, having always in heart and mind the intention to perceive and relate to the dynamic. For almost 10 years, it was my privilege to be part of the community of Coventry Cathedral. An important aspect of the cathedral's work was with children. Groups would come from many parts of the country for what some would call religious instruction. In the early days, these groups would usually be given a careful interpretation of the rich symbolisms of the cathedral. But then, when the children were really allowed to look, they, far better than the so-called educated, or should one say, indoctrinated adults, really saw. Wisdom prevailed, and to hear a child share his understanding of the glorious baptistry window was to touch the dynamic indeed. The meaning of the words, "except you become as little children," really became alive. So let us do just that. First the words, Then from behind the words, let us allow the picture to form. And let us first of all be silent together, remembering that the silence created with expectancy and with a clear aim is prayer indeed. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We are mostly so conditioned as to think automatically of a picture as inevitably square. This is not so. Though, if you wish, the picture we are now going to allow to form may operate in both, that is, a circle within a square. That is the framework. But we begin at the center. And here at its heart is the I am, man's true identity, the point and place of abiding, within which all colour is potentially present, hidden but unfolding. And from the centre of the picture before you is born a spiral of colour. It emerges from the center of the picture. And the spiral moves and grows in ever widening circles to create the picture. So be aware of the picture so far. The square, the circle, the central point within which is all potential, all colour, and from that central point the spiral begins to form, a spiral of colour, and the spiral moves and grows in ever widening circles until it fills the circle and creates the picture. Allow the colors to unfold. And keep in your awareness both the still point at the center and the movement outward, the spiraling of color from the center. The still center, wherein all color lies, and the powerful spiraling of color from the center. Now allow your awareness to include something more. Your own center, the heart of your being. Hold these three things in your consciousness. See them, the still, powerful center of the picture, the movement and the color to which this is giving birth, and the still center within your own heart. Holding these three points of awareness, allow yourself gently to move into the picture, its center, its potential from which the spiral moves, becomes your center. From your heart, the kaleidoscope of colors spirals and radiates. It is now three-dimensional, and you are at the still center of all things. So let us hold ourselves there in silence. So, centered in our hearts, we hear again the words of Jesus, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who dwells in me, as I dwell in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." So we allow the picture gradually to fade, holding within ourselves a sense of potential, of abiding, of being at the source of all life. Let us take up again the thought that life wells up from the centre. For here are the beginnings, both of prayer, in opening to the divine source within oneself, and fruitfulness, or true self-giving. All this is part of an unlocking from within, and it does not come easily, but it comes surely to those who will abide at the source. This is the journey inward, which, in the words of Teilhard de Chardin, leads to the very heart of the universe. To move inward to the place of abiding is to turn outwards towards the whole world. It is to dismantle the false barriers which separate us from one another. Yet it is to do so with true knowledge. To open oneself to others is today quite a fashionable phrase, but standing alone, it contains only half of the truth. For opening oneself, if it is to be a source of true giving, must be from the place of abiding. Remember what we observed earlier about the many selves. It must be from the place of abiding, from the still point of the turning world, from the place of perfect, clear perception. And it is validated by the flowering of what the New Testament calls the fruits of the Spirit, foremost of which is love. All this is costly, as indicated by C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Loves. To love at all is to be vulnerable. But if you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give it to no one, lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. So here again, we come face to face with the absolute element in the I Am sayings of Jesus. If we are to experience and transmit life, then there must be union with the source. The alternative to this is expressed in the words, can do nothing, withered branches, cut down and cast into the fire. Our preoccupations so far on this meditative journey have been with the movement required of us in putting ourselves in the place where perceptions may be awakened. There is another aspect of which we need also to be aware, and it is beautifully described in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Here it is. Then I saw in my dream a place where was a fire burning against a wall. So he led him about to the back side of the wall, where he saw a man with a vessel of oil in his hand, of the which he did continually cast, but secretly, into the fire. Then said Christian, what means this? The interpreter answered, this is Christ, who continually, with the oil of his grace, maintains the work already begun in the heart. And in that thou sawest that the man stood behind the wall to maintain the fire, that is to teach thee it is hard to see how this work is maintained in the soul. Here is the other side of the coin. all that we do in coming, believing, following, entering in, dwelling, takes place between the divine initiative and the divine response. Between the divine initiative and the divine response. Or put in another way, we are striving to create the situation as a result of the divine activity within which the divine activity may freely operate. May I repeat that? We are striving to create the situation as a result of the divine activity within which the divine activity may freely operate. And this activity is secret. It is not for us to measure, but to know. And here is paradox, that in the creating of stillness, the divine activity is intensified. In the creating of stillness, the divine activity is intensified. All is summed up in the words, the well-known words, of Patrick, Apostle of God. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth, a friend and stranger. In preparation for our meditation, let us go through the steps we have taken together before, and I hope you are doing this not only in the group, but when you're alone and at home. We begin by relaxing our bodies after making sure that they are in an alert and comfortable situation, as comfortable as you can be without somnolence. Creating an attitude of expectancy, readiness, openness, movement. This is no passive quietness. So we breathe away the tensions through all the pores of the body, and we allow ourselves to step back, as it were, from any emotional pressures. We don't repress them. We acknowledge their presence, and for a moment we step away from them. We can breathe them away as we breathe away the physical tensions. Allow the mind to quieten down, and to help in doing this, just fix the attention on the center of your chest, holding in your consciousness awareness of the deep, still center within. And once again, we use a visualization process and we become aware of the light within the heart, the still center within. Point of brilliant light which increasing gradually becomes a still, clear pool of reflection. And we allow this light gradually to fill the whole body, radiating upwards and downwards from the heart center. Keep the body relaxed. So that the whole body is filled with light. We are at the center of the light. And from our own still center within, we allow the light, which is the love, to radiate. Moving outward and away from us, great circles of light. Filling the room where you are, embracing the group, and reaching out and beyond. The whole created order. Linking us with one another, with all the people of the way, in every culture, in every country, encircling the globe, a vast network of light and love. and the whole created order is suffused with this light and love, the Christ who fills all things. The true life-giving force. Turn once more to center in the heart. Be aware of the light within the heart. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who dwells in me, as I dwell in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. Most of us, I imagine, have had the experience of looking at a photograph of ourselves and responding with, "Oh, how dreadful," and under the breath, "It's not a bit like me." The images we carry of ourselves and of others are invariably quite divorced from reality. If asked to draw a word picture of the New Testament meaning of disciple, I wonder how quickly we would come to the essence and reality. The authenticating mark, the proof of discipleship, is fruit, no more and no less. And the capacity for fruit bearing is increased, says Jesus, only by the process of pruning, a cutting back again and again to the source. For us all, if we would be disciples, there is a clear way, a direct way, an immediate way, but no easy way. Fruitfulness comes at a cost. It is, however, easy in following a course such as this to lapse and relapse into the state of passive observer, allowing questions to flit quietly and unobtrusively across the surface of the mind. And the yes, no, or don't knows of our replies leave us pretty well where we were before, safely on the outside, looking in. I am here, the tapes are there, and the speaker, thank God, is further away still. But the true voice, the real questions, are those within us already. Tapes, voices, sermons, books can only bring these to the surface, that is, into our consciousness. It has been my lot for a good many years to be involved in public speaking. On many such occasions, individuals have spoken to me afterwards, quoting what they heard me say. Almost invariably, it was something quite other than that which was intended. No matter, for we must start within ourselves, facing not with introspection, but with detached observation, those areas where pruning must be allowed. The rewards are great. The fruits of the Spirit, not all at once, but each in its season, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And now to our reading, followed as before with the silence for recording impressions. And today I read from the book The Journey Inwards by F.C. Happold. At the back of everything there is a power which fills the whole universe and yet has its dwelling in the deep center of every human soul. From this power, ineffable, inexpressible, unknowable, there is a perpetual outpouring into the phenomenal world, a loving self-giving of itself into the ground of being of each one of us, if we are prepared to throw ourselves open to that self-giving. May the light that shows the way illuminate the mind. May the love that knows the truth unfold within the heart. May the power that gives true life arise within the soul. Let light and love and power raise all in Christ to God. Amen.